Well, good evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'd like to spend a few moments talking about prayer. We spend a few minutes on Wednesday night talking about praying as a church family. And I'd like to focus this evening on some of the wonderful benefits for you and I as we pray for one another as a church family, and answer the question, why should we pray together as a church? Why should we pray together as a church? What are the benefits for us? Let's once again just renew our context here. Note then verses 1 to 5, it reads, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people," in other words, kill him. "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Let's bow for prayer. O God, I pray that we would truly take the name of the Lord Jesus wherever you send us. And Lord, help us to be a witness that brings honour and glory to your name. But O God, remind us afresh this evening concerning the importance of prayer, the importance of praying one for another, and the importance of praying together as a church family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. We noted on Wednesday night that here in verse number 5, the Bible makes reference to the church. Peter was kept in prison. Herod was determined to kill Peter. But because it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a Jewish festival, that would not have come across right. He would have won more enemies than friends. So he was waiting for the Jewish festival to come to an end, and then he would kill Peter as he did with James. And meanwhile, the Bible teaches us that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God's people assembled and they prayed, and verse number 5 tells us they prayed without ceasing. Verse 5 teaches us they prayed unto God, and the Bible teaches us they prayed for him. They prayed specifically. I'd like for us to continue our study here in Acts chapter 12 and note some of the wonderful benefits for the church as the church assembles and prays together. And I'd like to encourage you, those that are part of our midweek prayer meeting this evening, concerning the benefit of praying together. And I'd like to exhort you, for those of you that are not part of the midweek prayer meeting, to be a part of that prayer meeting. And note some of the blessings this evening that come from a church that is determined to pray together. C.H. Spurgeon made this statement concerning the midweek prayer meeting. He said, and I quote, "Believe me, it is one of the greatest joys of my heart to see you here so constantly at prayer meetings. And it always seems to be one of the best signs of vital godliness that can well be exhibited. Accept a holy life to see people willing to come out to the weeknight services. Any hypocrite will come on Sundays. But to come on weekdays seems to me to be a favourable sign, a proof of sincerity. A wonderful quote from C.H. Spurgeon, who valued the midweek prayer meeting. And what are some benefits in you and I praying together as a church family? Well, we note some principles here within this chapter. As the Bible teaches us in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison. A prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, note then verse number 6 as a way of introduction. The Bible teaches us, and when Herod would have brought him forth that same night. And I'd like to just say as a way of introduction concerning the benefits, one of the great benefits of praying together as a church family for the needs of God's people is that we can be assured of the fact that God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. See, verse 6 indicates that Herod was just about to take Peter out of prison. To what end? To kill him. It's at that very moment that God works, and God's timing is always perfect. Thank God that we serve a God that is on time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, Galatians 4:4. And as a way of introduction, we can be encouraged concerning the fact if we will pray together collectively as a church family, we can be assured of the fact that God will answer on time, in time. And it's no coincidence that verse number 6 reads, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, and God begins to answer prayer, just as Herod was about to give the commission to his soldiers to bring Peter out in order to kill him, God answered prayer. Praise God for that. God always answers prayer on time. And let's note, first and foremost, in verse number 6, the Bible teaches that while Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept in prison, that the Bible teaches us, if you read on down, in verse number 7, and his chains fell off from his hands. And I'd like to encourage you concerning the fact that prayer will loosen the strongholds. Prayer has the power to loosen strongholds. Peter was cared for by no less than 16 men. He was chained to two, and no doubt the remainder were there to guard the prison. And and God was able to loosen him. And I'd like to encourage you this evening, as you and I, as God's people, pray, God is able to loosen strongholds in people's lives. God is able to set free that which Satan has bound. See, the devil seeks to bind. The Lord Jesus provides liberty. And our prayers can provide great liberty for those in need. The need of salvation, John 8:36, if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. All of God's people, all of God's servants battle with on different fronts. And as we as the people of God assemble together and pray together, God is able to loosen those chains. The Bible teaches us in verse 7, and his chains fell off from his hands. Why? Because the church was in prayer. The church was in prayer. They were assembled there in verse number 12, the Bible reads, in the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So this church prayer meeting was held in a home. Now, we're not told how many were there. The Bible teaches us there were many. I doubt there were thousands, because it was in somebody's home, and within the biblical setting, they lived in a compound type setup for the sake of extended family and protection. So I doubt there were thousands, but the Bible teaches us there were many that prayed. And God is able to loosen strongholds through prayer. So let me encourage you, as we assemble for prayer and as we pray, that God will loosen the stronghold of sin. God is able. God is able. Prayer will loosen strongholds. Now, through our prayers, God can do that which is supernatural. And we see that evident within this passage of Scripture as well. In verse number 7, the Bible reads, "And the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands." And I'd like to note the second principle this evening concerning the benefit of corporate prayer is that God will not only loosen strongholds through our prayers, and people are bound by sin, and some people are bound with religion, are they not? You know, God is able to loosen the stronghold of Islam. Yes, God is able. God is able to loosen the stronghold of communism, Roman Catholicism. God is able to loosen the stronghold of materialism. God is able. God is able, and God loosened Peter's chains, and God is able to loosen the strongholds. And see, God is able to do the supernatural, that which we cannot do. See, there is nothing that this church assembled could do for Peter outside of praying for him. Could you imagine them trying to send a check to Herod? So Herod, here's some money. Will you loosen our friend Peter? I don't imagine that would have worked. There was nothing the church could do for Peter, in a sense, outside of praying for him. And is that not everything? See, God can do the supernatural when we pray. God will do the supernatural when we pray together as a church. God can do that which is not physically possible. It was Blessed C.H. Spurgeon who said, "Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence." One of my favorite quotes. Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence, God's power, fullness of power. So God intervenes. God intervenes in a very supernatural way to remind us, beloved, that as we pray together as a church family, God is able to loosen strongholds. And God is able to do that which is physically not possible. We can't walk through walls, but God is able to work through walls. God is able. God is able to do the supernatural. Thirdly, I'd like for us to note that Peter was at peace. During this time of difficulty, Peter was at peace. Note then verse number 7, Peter was fast asleep. The angel had to wake him up. Now, I don't imagine his settings were comforting. I don't imagine he had 5-star facilities. He was chained to 2 Roman soldiers. He knew that death was imminent. He knew it was a matter of just waiting till the end of this Jewish feast and then he'd be killed like his brother James was killed. But yet we find that Peter was fast asleep. May I submit to you that prayer will bring peace to the human heart. And your prayers, how God can use your prayers, the prayers of the saints, for the saints, will provide grace that is needed in times of difficulties. How often we get reports back from our missionaries that have praised God for the prayers of the saints. and how God has used their prayers to provide comfort and peace in times of great difficulty. Here's Peter, chained to two Roman soldiers. I don't imagine they were very friendly towards him, and yet he was at peace. He was fast asleep. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 7 that a light shined in the prison. A light shined in the prison. When we pray, our prayers will provide a ray of hope. A ray of hope for God's people. The Spirit of God can lay a promise before the saint. The Spirit of God can lay a promise before the servants of God as we pray for them. And as God shines some light into this dark prison cell, God is able to use our prayers to shine light into the hearts and lives of God's people in times of great need. And note the deliverance there in verse number 7 once again, that the Bible teaches us, as we've already said, that his chains fell off from his hands, that God did provide deliverance. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, I like to remind myself of this very promise. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. First Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation or trial testings taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What a wonderful promise, the promise of deliverance. Our prayers can provide deliverance for God's people. And that's why we need to pray collectively as the people of God. Because people go through trials and difficulties and testings, and as we share prayer requests, as we share our burdens one with another, we can pray one for another. And we can look to the Lord to provide deliverance. Just like God provided deliverance for Peter, the Bible teaches his chains fell off his hands. And God not only provided deliverance, God provided direction. Direction. Look at verse 8. And the angel said unto him, back in Acts chapter 12, verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, or get dressed, bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. Direction. Through our prayers, God is able to provide direction. Sometimes people present a need, a very relevant need, a very pressing need, and as we pray for that individual, God is able to provide direction for the saints of God. Our missionaries, for example, need God's mind. They need God's direction. You know, consider these ones that are ministering in situations that are very restrictive. Our missionaries in China, our missionaries in Myanmar, they don't enjoy the liberties that you and I enjoy. And as we pray for them collectively as a church family, God can provide that direction that they need. And as we pray one for another, God is able to provide direction. So don't underestimate the power of your prayers. As we pray one for another, God is able to provide direction. Don't be backward in coming forward and asking the people of God, please pray for me that God will give me some direction, that God will make it clear to me what I need to do next, and God answers those kinds of prayers. This angel said to Peter, follow me. follow me.
Then as we read on, we note there in verse number 9 that he went out. This is Peter. He went out and followed him and wist not, or just didn't really comprehend it, that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. See, as God works through the prayers of the saints, even the very saint himself might be amazed at what's happening. Poor Peter, he's thinking to himself, this must be a dream. What's going on? I'm having a vision. This can't be real. What a wonderful experience. What a wonderful thought to think, wow, is this for real? Is this really happening? And then to think, well, it is really happening. You've all had those dreams of which you've thanked God that you've woken up. Boy, I had a few of those last week. I'm not sure. I don't normally dream, but I had some of those dreams that I was so thankful that my wife woke me up. The alarm woke me up. Praise God. But this, here's Peter, and he's just amazed. He thinks to himself, this is not real. I'm just having a vision. This is not real. I'm not really been released out of this prison. This is not real. Beloved, God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think in the lives of those that we pray for. So be encouraged to pray for one another. Be encouraged to pray for the saints, because God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. And even Peter said to himself, this must be a vision. I'm experiencing a vision. This really can't be real. Oh yes, it was real. It was real. The Lord opened doors in response to the church's prayers. Note there in verse number 10 and 11. The Bible reads, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Get the impression that Peter was under maximum security, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And note then verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So Peter came to himself and he realized, wow, God has really worked. What a wonderful experience for Peter. All because a church family prayed for Peter. Wouldn't it be wonderful to note that same experience in the life of God's people, God's missionaries, standing back and just saying, wow, God has really answered my prayer, the prayers of the saints. God has really worked. Peter found it almost unbelievable what had happened to him. God had opened up these doors. When the church prays, God opens up major doors. So let me encourage you, don't be backward in coming forward in asking the church to pray for you. Don't belittle your requests. We're here to pray for one another, are we not? We're here to uphold one another in prayer. And don't be backward in coming forward and saying, please pray. Please pray that God will open up opportunity. Or please pray for this need or whatever your need is. God is able to open the doors and do the impossible. And then we read on in verse 12, as Peter came to himself and he realized that God had answered his prayers, and he's been delivered out of prison from death. that while this prayer meeting continued, as verse 5 teaches us, prayer was made without ceasing of the church under God for him. Verse 13 and 14 reads, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And when it comes to God answering our prayers, let's not be slow to give God glory, amen? Let's not be slow to believe that God answers prayer. Otherwise, why do we pray? Let's believe that God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. Let's not be guilty of being slow to give God the glory. See, Rhoda recognized Peter's voice, but failed to recognize the workings of God straight away. She didn't open the door. She had a blonde moment. Some would say a brunette moment. She recognized Peter's voice. She opened not the gate for gladness. That was a blonde moment. And ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Her wisdom would have been to open the gate, let him in. But God overruled, amen. Verses 15 and 16 it reads, and they said unto her, thou art mad. This is the church family that had been praying. They said to Rhoda, you're crazy. Peter's at the gate. No, Peter's in prison, cared for by 16 Roman soldiers in maximum security. You're crazy. You crazy woman. You're hearing things. But she constantly affirmed, verse 15, that it was so. And then they said, it is his angel. No, it can't be Peter, it's his angel, Peter's guardian angel that's come to visit us. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished, surprised. Why be surprised when God answers prayer? We ought to praise God that he answers prayer. Because we serve a God that does answer prayer. And this is so typical of God's people. We exert all of this energy to pray, and one wonders whether we really believe that God will answer our prayers. Come on, talk to me. We can point the finger at Rhoda, and we can point the finger at that New Testament church. We're just as guilty. So let me encourage you, beloved, let's pray believing. And let's be diligent to give God the glory. Let's not be surprised when God answers prayer. The Lord calls for the New Testament church to pray collectively for one another. And Peter the Apostle experienced the fruit the saints praying for him. Beloved, we need to pray one for another. We need to pray for these dear missionaries. It's one thing to send off their support, but they need our prayers. They need our prayers. And I'd like to encourage you this evening to see the importance of prayer on a personal level. But I'd like to remind you this evening the importance and the benefits of prayer. That is, praying together as a church family. For God is able to loosen strongholds. God is able to do the supernatural. God is able to give peace and grace to those that we are praying for. God is able to provide hope, deliverance,
direction. God is able. Even God is able to do above and beyond that which that individual could imagine that has requested prayer. God is able to open doors. God is able. God is able. Don't underestimate the power of our prayers. Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the nerve of God's the muscle of God's omnipotence. May God find us faithfully praying one for another. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. Let's pray one for another. Let's pray for one another in our personal quiet times. Let's not underestimate the importance of praying for one another collectively as a church. And let's look to God to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. See, Peter was in maximum security. He was about to be killed. What could the church do? Pray. And the rest is here in the inspired word to encourage us that God is able to do the miraculous through the prayers of the saints. So I'd like to encourage you to value the midweek prayer meeting. To value that. Make it a priority. Your labor is not in vain, beloved. Let's continue to pray together as a church family. Let's not be guilty as this New Testament church was guilty of praying without ceasing. And yet when God answered prayer, they were amazed. They accused this dear lady of being mad. I would have accused her of being a brunette. Why didn't you open the gate and let him in? No. It was an angel. How tragic. May God help us to pray believing that God is able. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.